Good morning. Welcome this morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's Mother's Day, and we are just so glad that everyone is here. Sam told me to tell you that we're having technical difficulties and he's going to fix them. So I want to be sure and tell you that. Okay. Who is this year's your first time with us today? Anybody? Good. Would you introduce yourself? Good. We are glad you're here, Mr. Mansgar. Nice to have you with us. Let's take just a few moments and each stand and greet each other for just a moment, okay? There are lots of announcements in the bulletin, and I'm not going to take the time to read those to you, but does anyone have anything in specifically that they want to remind us about? All right, anything else that we need to make note about?
I need to make note about Saturday night, Renaissance, a group from Bethel College, McKinsey, Tennessee, will be here to sing at 7 o'clock. We hope that you will come out and give support to them. You will not be disappointed with their music. It is a musical program. It will be everything from bluegrass to stuff from the 50s. Some of you grew up in the 50s. Bring tears to your eyes, Bill, when you remember back how young you used to be. And then some gospel, bluegrass. I've often said a bluegrass is either real happy and silly or real sad. I think they do both. But it will be some old favorites also of the Southern gospel type. So that's Saturday night, 7 o'clock. We hope you'll be here. Now, the other part of that is we need to sleep approximately 30 college students. We have places reserved for about 23 or 24. And then give or take 30, we may have more. There'll be 54 in the group, but many of them are from the Nashville area, so they'll be going to their own home, to their parents' home. And so if you can sleep 2, 1, 3, 4 college students, let us know. There's a sign-up sheet, I believe, in the back. Michael, is that back there? Can somebody help Michael with the sign-up sheet? Hold it up. I think it's a white piece of paper attached to a pink sheet. John, would you get that and then pass it up and down the aisle? I think it's on the corner there. On the chair, right. This is an opportunity again. This is kind of a pleading opportunity. We don't want them to sleep outside. Now, we'll feed them supper at 5 o'clock. That's taken care of. Tommy's going to cook a good meal. Then Sunday morning, they need to be here at 7 o'clock to go to Tushtalem. They're going to be at Tushtalem Church for about 7 o'clock. They're going to be at Tushtalem Church on Sunday morning. So we encourage you to be here and believe it'll be a blessing. The custom was going to serve them breakfast. Tuscan will serve them breakfast. I think during the Sunday school hour.
But I didn't want people to think they had to feed.
Oh, feed. Yes, thank you. You don't have to feed them breakfast unless you might give them a cup of coffee and push them out the door or something. Or get them down here.
All right. Any prayer requests or praise reports? Okay.
We have several lapel mics that we use for special events like youth plays and children's plays and anything. We have there's about five of them that are missing. If we just misplaced them somewhere in the building, we can't find them anyway. So if anybody knows the whereabouts of any of the cordless mics that we use, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Also, along that line, the week after the barbecue or during the barbecue, we lost an amplifier. And it's a box about this long and about that big square. We don't know if one of the groups mistakenly took it with them when they packed up their stuff or what happened to it, but we haven't been able to locate that. If you borrowed it, that's fine, but just let us know. Haven't seen Steve. He must be sleeping this morning. Think he could. Somebody needs to light
the candle. Oh, that's right.
One of the young people do that. Thank you, Michael. Savannah, would you take care of that? Somebody give you some assistance there?
All right. Prayer request. Praise report. Anything this morning? Yes. Good. Great. Good. We're glad.
Mark Fielder's sister passed away at the end of his production.
Okay. All right.
That's been Sandra Rucker. And it was unexpected, and we didn't even expect the funeral to be until maybe tomorrow. So, thanks, Rebecca Fielder's sister in law.
Okay. Anything else?
Ms. Rudenthal moved to Adam's place in Murfreesboro yesterday.
Our candle ladies are getting ready, and we do want to welcome Jesus into our midst because He really, truly is the light of the world. So let's take just a moment as we prepare for this morning's worship service. As we prepare for worship, we can all together say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our call to worship is found in the bulletin, and it is responsive. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine, you are the branches, says the Lord. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 59. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the glowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. sing the goodness of the Lord. That fill the earth with bird. He formed the creatures with His word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below that makes Thy glories known. May flower arise and tears flow, Thy order from Thy throne. What a love that borrows light from Thee is ever in Thy care. And everywhere that man can be, Thou God art present there.
Let's bow our heads and pray together. Let's think of the power of God, Creator of the universe. Lord, we just come to acknowledge, recognize who You are, Your power. And Lord, our comprehension is limited when we begin to think about how big, how marvelous, how wonderful, how strong, how powerful You really are. We get a glimpse of You and Your glory. We know that Moses could only stand or tolerate a glimpse. Lord, as we come to Your special place, coming apart from the world, we pray, O Lord, that You would reveal as much of Yourself as You will to as much as we can receive, acknowledging our limitations, but knowing that You're holy, all-knowing, all-powerful. Thank You for bringing us to this place, and thank You for meeting with us. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
We want to again have our statement of faith. This is what we believe. Let's say it in unison together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. We're called to confess our sins. This is probably a daily basis. I think it is for me. But it's good that we can come together on a Sunday morning and take a time to ask the Lord to just renew us, keep us close to Him, because that's really the only way that we can make it, is to be close to the Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let's say together, Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved You with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. In Your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name. And let's continue. Amen. We have assurance of forgiveness. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Turn your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 112, it's really just a chorus. I'd like for us to sing that through three times. So, just lifting up His name.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, blessed Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
I want to recognize our mothers at this moment, and I think Julie is going to take care of that for us.
Every year, and we usually like to provide them with something that they can keep through the year, devotionals and such. And this year, we have a Recipe for Life book, which has devotionals and recipes for those of you who like to cook or like to read recipes and not cook them. And I know you're out there.
I'm not here.
Could we have some of the volunteers of children in the audience who might like to give these out to the women we have? We are truly, truly blessed by all of the women we have in our congregation. And be sure we recognize all our women, because they're all mothers to the members of our congregation in one way or another. Thank you.
We're going to 663 in your hymnal, please. It's a responsive reading about family. Good day to read this. Maybe, except for this first verse. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands,
your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Our offertory sentence is from Hebrews. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. If our ushers will come forward, please.
Thank you.
as most of you know, I was not here on Easter, so I've been informed since that I didn't sing my song, so it's not my song, it's the Lord's song. But we all have gifts, and we need to discover that gift, that special gift that we have to give back to the Lord. If this song is a gift to you, the congregation, to lift up the Lord, then that's why that I do it. But I did sing the song on Easter Sunday. You just didn't hear me. I guess I was too far away. I was 7,000 feet on a mountain in Guatemala.
Perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held up and wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear that I'd ever had melted into peace.
He's alive! He's alive! Our first scripture today comes from Exodus 15, verses 11 through 13. Who among the God is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfaithfulness, love, you will lead the people who you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Our second scripture comes from Psalms 29, verses 1 through 9. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks through cinders. The Lord breaks in pieces of cinders of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The third scripture comes from John 12, verses 23 through 33. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for the same reason I come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now it is time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all my men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he is going to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Turn in your hymnals again, please, to hymn 72. We'll glorify him.
One and four.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Giving glory to God. We talked about it a bit last week, and we continue, if you can call it a theme, with that theme this week, giving glory to God. Moses did it. David also. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Three examples that we could not go wrong in following. Moses. The lesson from Exodus. In your scripture passage. The question is posed, who among the gods, small g if you notice, is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? And then he describes God, or somewhat describes God, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, a wonder-working God. God who works wonders or does miracles. And then he expresses in verse 12 and an act of God. That was when the people acted up. The people rebelled against God. And God just opened the earth and swallowed them. Kind of a lesson if we go back and read Exodus, Numbers, some warning, a strong warning. God has the power. He is in charge. And then verse 13 comes right back with God's love, though. God is not vengeful. All that he does, even in punishment to his people, was for their benefit. Verse 13, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. He had redeemed them, this particular group of people in Exodus, he had redeemed them from bondage in Egypt, from slavery, and was sending them to a land flowing with milk and honey. It's also a reference to our future with God and where God is leading us. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. They would end up in the land of Canaan, and our Canaan is heaven. Then the psalmist, David, in Psalm 29, many places, but in particular, Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, and he was referring to the people as the mighty ones, the people who thought that they were so great, and they were special in God's eye. Ascribe to the Lord, even if we are the mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord. Express before the Lord his worth or his value in our lives. And then the psalmist tells us some things or expresses some acts of God or speaks forth concerning some acts of God. Talks about high winds. Talks about earthquakes. The psalmist David attributed these to God. And some people say God is not in this. I don't know, but I believe that he is. I can't prove it. And don't need to. The just shall live by faith. And I'm trying to be a just person, especially by living by faith. The voice of the Lord is powerful. If he spoke and the earth came into existence and the universe, certainly he can speak and cause the earth to shake. Or send a great wind in the desert, or even in the mountains. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon, and he also breaks in pieces the houses in Gallatin. Why does he do this? I don't know. Is God in it? I believe he is. Is he a God of destruction? He might be trying to show us that material things are so unimportant in the larger scheme of things. Can I prove that? No, I can't. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. Twists the oaks, strips the forest bare. In his temple all cry glory. That's the goal of acknowledging what God has done. That God is all powerful. We owe it all to him. He is in charge. And then Jesus. Jesus, the 12th chapter of John. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And then he came to the time of going to the cross, the prayer. The hour has come for Jesus to be glorified. That's what Jesus is saying. And then the voice came from heaven down in, I guess it's verse 28. I have glorified my name. Because Jesus said, glorify your name. And Jesus, God the Father spoke from heaven, I've glorified it. But I will glorify it again. I will glorify it again. And Jesus' words, it's not for God's sake. He knows who He is. It's for our sake, that we would know. This is for your benefit. He spoke to the crowd, not even His own, for the benefit of those who were present, for the benefit of you and I as we read this again. I read Max Lucado's book. It's a little bitty book, as books go, about that thick and about that big in size. It says, it's not about me. And as I read it, I'm pulled to read it again. It's not about me. I'm drawn to read it again. It's not about me. It's been a good lesson for me. It's a lesson I wanted to promote among us. It's not about us. It's not about Jenkins Church. It's about God and what we can do for God. It's about what Jenkins Church can do for the kingdom of God and for God Himself. One of the things that Lucado points out over and over is that God wants to be glorified. Is God egotistical in wanting to be glorified? No, He's not. But God wants to be glorified. We need to know from where we come. I attended a high school reunion. We call it an alumni banquet. The 71st one for that particular school. And some of us talked about, we don't forget from where we came. Some of us might want to, but we need to go back and visit from our relationship with God. We don't need to forget. We must not forget where we came from. And God wants to be glorified by those He created. And we are the creation. But we need to glorify God. We need to glorify God more than He needs to be glorified. And He wants to be glorified for our benefit. God is secure in who He is. Are we secure in who we are? Will we be tomorrow? Glorify. Think of that word again. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that an elderly minister friend in a gathering said, well, what are we talking about when we glorify? I think he knew. He just wanted to be sure that he knew, maybe, but he wanted to call our attention to what it is to glorify God. And the dictionary, the common secular dictionary, to bestow glory. And we know all about bestowing glory, to give honor or praise unto, or to bestow honor upon someone, to give them a plaque and say flowing words and flowery words about them, to heap praise upon someone, upon God in this case. We do it to each other. We have recognition banquets, be it an Oscar or an Emmy or whatever else is given. But we're thinking today about bestowing honor and praise upon God. Someone said, what do you do when you praise someone? And a simple definition is just brag on them. Nothing untrue, all that's true, but just tell all the good things. All the qualities of that person. I try to do that at funerals. To remember and reflect upon those great moments that we had with the deceased. Doing that to God is what we're talking about today. Glory, glory, to bestow glory. Now, if we're bestowing glory, glory means an exalted honor, a high honor, a lifted up honor. Praise. Praise is showing adoration, showing that we adore. We offer praise and thanksgiving in worship, be it public worship or private worship. Max Lucado writes, God's staff meeting. Can you comprehend or can you conceive of God having a staff meeting, calling all of His angels together around His throne early in the morning before they start the day? Or does He ever cease from being a part of the day? No, He doesn't. But in our world, like we go to work and we wake up, well, God never sleeps, does He? But when everybody else wakes up, He calls them together and for a staff meeting. We're just imagining this, you understand. Lucado says, if God had a staff meeting, it would revolve around one question. Angels, how can we reveal My glory today? That's the purpose of the angels, to reveal God's glory. In that staff meeting, how can we reveal My glory today? Hopefully that's not being too sacrilegious. Lucado continues, and I don't give him too much praise, but I've borrowed from him, and he's such a thinker and has a way with words. That's a good way to say it. He says, if God had a purpose statement, we've gone through a period of time where every church and every organization, hopefully every home, would have a purpose statement written or unwritten. And sometimes you frame your purpose statement and you mount it on the wall somewhere. And he says, Lucado says, heaven's framed and mounted purpose statement hangs in the angel's break room, just above the angel food cake. And he says, the purpose of the angels declare God's glory. And we're made just a little lower than the angels. So our purpose is to help the angels declare God's glory. Lucado makes the statement that God exists to showcase God or to showcase Himself. God exists to showcase Himself. He told Moses, let me prove this by Scripture, if Scripture is a proof for you. By those who come near to Me, I must be regarded as holy. Moses wanted to see God. He only got a glimpse and then of God's backside as God's hand shadowed Moses or covered Moses for protection. But God said to Moses, those who come near Me, by them I must be glorified. And before all the people, I must be glorified. We know about Pharaoh and Moses, do we not? And it said God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And how many times have you asked, how many times have I been asked, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? Is God not cruel to do that? Well, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue the Israelites, but God will gain glory for himself through Pharaoh and his army, and even the Egyptians will know that he is the Lord. So the Egyptians would come to worship God after Pharaoh's experiences with God, where God had hardened his heart. Why do the heavens exist? The heavens exist to declare the glory of God. Why did God choose the Israelites? They were not better than anybody else. Isaiah tells us that he chose them so that everyone called by his name would know that they were created for his glory. Even why do we struggle? Sometimes we wonder. God says in Isaiah 48, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will act. Then he continues in Psalm 50, trust in me at all times, or trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 63, you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. Jesus taught us to pray. We prayed it this morning. When we pray to the Father, say, hallowed be your name. Every act of heaven, and God is active in heaven, is he not? Every act of Jesus, they reveal God's glory. The writer of Hebrews, in the first chapter, the third verse, speaks of the Son, Jesus, S-O-N. The Son reflects the glory of God. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus declared, now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? The question, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? And then he continues, no, I won't ask to be saved from this hour, because it's for this hour that I came. It's for this reason that he came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And the Apostle Paul, the letter to the Romans, says that Christ has become a servant of the Jews so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, or the non-Jews may glorify God for his mercy. Jesus declared his mission, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. That's found in that high priestly prayer of Jesus. John chapter 17. Jesus came, did the work, taught, preached, healed, then ultimately went to the cross. And this prayer is recorded in John right before the cross experience, or going to the cross. And he says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. In Isaiah, the translation in the Message, a relatively new version, and said that God's one goal is to keep up his reputation. Isaiah 48:11. I have my reputation to keep up. You know, some of us don't, well, we do. But there's some people that don't care about their reputation. But God cares about his. He cares that we know. We need to know. Not for his sake, but for his sake. But especially for our sake. An illustration of a lifeboat, I think, explains it. Why does God need to broadcast himself? Why does God need to promote himself? Why does God need to help us to glorify him and to know all about him? Why does he keep revealing himself to us in glory? For the same reason that the pilot of a lifeboat does. And Lakato gives this example. Forgive me if you need to for using so much of him. He says, think of it this way. You're in the ocean without a boat. Just you and the ocean. You're floundering. You're needy. You're neck deep. Neck deep in a dark, cold sea. The ship that you were on, it's somewhere over here. It's sinking. Your life jacket that you thought was going to preserve you, it's deflating. You're trying to swim, but your strength is waning. And then through the night, through the darkness, there comes the voice of a lifeboat pilot. You cannot see the pilot of the lifeboat. What do you want him to do? Do you want him to keep quiet and not let you know he is there? Or do you want him to say, here I am, I'm coming to get you, I'm coming to get you? Certainly you do not want him to be quiet. Certainly you do not want him to say nothing. Certainly you do not want him to sneak around through you and between you and the other drowning passengers. You need him to speak up. You need him to call to you. You need him to really turn it up, if you will. In biblical jargon, you want him to show his glory. You need that lifeboat captain to say, I'm here. I am strong. I have room for you. I can save you. Drowning passengers want the pilot of the lifeboat to reveal his preeminence. Don't we want God to do the same? Isn't it nice of God to say to a sinking society, if you will, here I am. We are thrashing about, are we not, in a sea of guilt, a sea of anger, a sea of despair. If we're not, our neighbor is. Life isn't working for so many people. We're going down so fast. But God can rescue us. Only one message really matters when we're going down for the last time. We need to see His glory. God has no ego problem. He does not reveal His glory for His good. We need to witness it for our good. We need to know that God cares for us. We need to know that God is able to save us and is willing to save us. We need to know His power. We need to know that His is the strong hand that will pull us safely into the lifeboat. And then when we're pulled in, it becomes our priority, our purpose, our goal, our aim to give Him the glory and to share His glory with all who will hear. I believe the song is number 103. Would you join me as we sing it? It's really not an invitation song, but it could be. If you need to respond publicly to God calling out to you and saying, here I am, take my hand. It's an invitation song if that's your need this morning. But it's also a song that we stand together and sing together of the glory of God. 103. There's three verses. Will you join me to sing them all?
Praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme. Thank you.
Help us to think more and more of it, to comprehend it, to let it bless our lives, that we might be a blessing and give you the glory to those out in the world. In Jesus' name.